But it's up to you to pick yourself up and not feel sorry anymore. Just keep on going. You know, you're the only one that's holding you in that spot and preventing yourself from rising up to moving on to better things. We've all struggled in life. That's what life is. Life is struggle. Life is lessons to be learned. I love when people tell me that I can't hit that number. You're never going to be able to do this. No way. And then they laugh at you. I'm like, watch. Wait and see.
It still hits, I don't miss it. It's go, 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 like a go, go flow. And I'm almost known, and I told y'all so. When I throw these flows, like a slow bow. And I ain't too close, it's your small goals. And I'm on my grind, that is all the time. I do not do breaks, that's right, I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that. A little more cash than I came in with. Ready, that cat is out that bag. But I still ask, the boy got skills. I don't need her, I don't need him. I don't need help with me, I got this. I can sing songs, I can spit raps. And I can do both, even do this, word.
Support for the On the Stacks podcast comes from Montage Planning Partners. Partnerships like this make our community a better place to live and work. That's why Montage Planning Partners is proud to support the important work of On the Stacks. When it comes to financial planning, most financial companies ask, "What's your salary?" At Montage Planning Partners, we ask, "What's your story?" We know building the right financial plan means looking at more than just money. That's why we start by asking the right questions, listening to what matters most to you, then guiding you every step of the way to help you live the life you want. Now and years from now. Plan your financial story with Montage Planning Partners with Northwestern Mutual, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Contact Montage Planning Partners today. Visit montageplanningpartners.com for further information and disclosures. This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On the Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine. This episode is brought to you by Wilks Consulting, a Ramsey-preferred coaching firm. Are you drowning in debt? Is the weight of financial stress holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? Then it's time to break free and regain control of your financial future. Wilks Consulting specializes in financial and debt consulting. Their team of 4 highly trained Ramsey Solutions advisors are ready to help you take charge of your money. Whether you're looking to get out of debt, pay off student loans, or simply need assistance on how to prepare to buy a home, Wilks Consulting can help you fine-tune your budget and provide the resources and guidance you need to meet your goals. Don't let debt or the fear of finances control your life any longer. Head over to wilcopa.com and book a hassle-free, no-obligation call. Your first step towards financial freedom. Again, that's wilcopa.com. WILCOPA.com. Wilks Consulting, making financial independence a reality. This episode is brought to you by FitAF. If you haven't already noticed, I live and breathe entrepreneurship. Whether it's launching new ventures, attending pitch meetings, or mentoring budding entrepreneurs, my schedule is jam-packed. And that's where FitAF steps in. Their menu changes weekly, offering a variety of chef-inspired meals designed by nutrition experts using only the best quality ingredients, keeping me fueled and focused. Their vast selection of meals has you covered for all types of dietary restrictions and diet plans, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As an On the Stacks listener, enjoy our exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more when you use code OTS at checkout at fitafnutrition.com. Again, that's code OTS for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at fitafnutrition.com. Healthy meals and seamless nutrition, keeping entrepreneurs at the top of their game. What's up, podcast? I'm your host, Bill Corcoran Jr. here in the MPP studio. Tess Jendrzejewski, welcome to the On the Stacks podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I think I got it pretty close. I don't know if I said it right. I'm not even going to try to spell it, but I feel like I got pretty close there.
Yeah, you did pretty good.
Did I?
Yeah,
okay. Man. I was practicing it. Like, you saw me. I was gone. I was in the bathroom for a while. You're probably wondering what I was doing. But I was really in there. Listen, I was in there practicing your last name. I'm like, I can't screw this up. Kurt will never
let me live it down if I do. And but to that point, in all seriousness, thank you for being here, number one. Number two is the best guests from this show always come from recommendations from previous guests. So before we go any further, we got to give your cousin Chris Savage. I call him Kurt Savage. That's what he's in my phone as when I met him. I don't know why. I think I actually thought his last name was Savage. It's a long story, and I don't even know if I remember the actual story.
Was alcohol involved?
Could have been. It might have. Allegedly. All right. But no. Like I said, in all seriousness, I'm glad to have you here, and it always works out. So as you're trying to focus on having a good conversation with me, I'll also need you to think about who my next guest is going to be, and I'm sure you probably have a recommendation. You don't have to tell me right now. But yeah, like I said, like literally, because everybody always asks that, like, and that's a question I get all the time. Everybody's like, Bill, where do you find these people? Because everyone's like, man, like you have some really cool, interesting people on, like with really great stories and just doing really cool stuff. And like, where do you find them? And I'm like, I don't know. Half the time they find me. And they're like, what? They're like, you don't have to like go out and search me. I'm like, well, I do. Some I do. Mm-hmm. But then other ones, I always say like the best guests usually always come from a previous guest who had a great experience. Like, by the way, everybody's had a great experience. Right. Which I think everyone has, right? I don't think there's anyone that's ever left here disappointed. If you have, I'm sorry. but really though, they I'm not even kidding. Like it's, you know, because now I've done like over 200 episodes and I'm a lot more selective nowadays than like I was maybe in the earlier days. And plus I also get a lot more requests too. But when Kurt's like, hey man, if you're ever looking for somebody, my cousin Tess is like amazing. Like she does really cool shit. She's like the best in the area. Better. He even said better than me.
Well, of course I'm better than him. He did not use those words better than me.
He did. She's like, she's so much better than me. She's like the best in this area.
He does praise me up and down. He does. And I'm not fooling myself or anything. And I don't think that, but when I do hear that, it's always so nice to hear because you do work really, really hard on these projects and you put your heart and soul, blood, sweat, tears into them. And it's nice for people to realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you and Kurt have like a competition? Like is like a competition between
There's
the
no
two?
There's no competition. There's no competition. I'm at a whole nother level.
Oh, boom. Kurt, did you hear that? Because you know he's watching.
He knows. He already knows.
Oh, my God. Well, no. So, I mean, you guys obviously, have you guys like worked on like some projects ever together? Because like you guys are kind of like in the same space almost, right?
Yes. Yes. And I do. He is working on a Kingston project right now that he asked for my expertise on. So I do, that's another thing that I also do is that flippers or people that want to get into flipping, if they're unsure on what they're doing or how to go about the project, don't even know where to start, where best to put your money in the smartest way, I can come in and say, hey, you know, listen, this is the smartest, most efficient way for your flip. And mm-hmm. people are going to like it. They're going to gravitate towards it. It's going to be a beautiful end result, you know?
Mm-hmm. How many have you done to this point? Like, do you know off the top of your head?
Probably 8 flips.
How long have you been doing it?
Not that long. I mean, probably we used to work our real jobs. My husband was a mechanic and I was a barber.
So, were you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
A barber.
Shout out to Robin at Robin's Salon for Men and Boys. That's where I spent a long part of my life, you know, and we did it on the side. And then once we got to a certain point, we're like, let's take the next step. And that's what life is about. Every time I always tell people, especially my son, don't settle. When you settle, like I feel like you fall short, you know, and you can't live to, there's so many things that you can do, you know, so just keep on striving, keep on, don't settle, don't be, oh, I guess I should be content with this. No, don't ever be content. Keep on pushing, keep on fighting, keep on striving for more and better things.
So how long were you a barber?
God, 12 years maybe. I have to go back and look from my cosmetology. So
like, was that license? Like your was that like the first thing you did? Like your first like, hey, I'm gonna be a barber.
Well, construction and renovation is in my blood. It's in my family. You know what I mean? My father can do anything. My mother was great at designing. Every time friends came over, they're like, man, your house looks like a hotel. And like, I thought nothing of it because that's the way
you were born into that.
Yes.
Into that lifestyle.
And my mother would have me do projects with her and different things. And I'd be like, I wasn't made for this. I'll throw myself on the ground, start crying and run back in. I'm like, I'm never doing this. I'm never doing construction. Go on about it, and then look at me right now.
I feel like that's how I felt. I was just telling you before we came on that I've been in this building for almost 2 years now, and I told you, I was like, don't look around, because I did a lot of the work here myself. And if anybody anybody that knows me knows I'm not the handiest person in the world, but you know, when you're balling on a budget and starting a business, you got to do a lot of shit yourself.
You do. It's hard work.
It is. And there might have been some days where I might have been laying out on the floor there crying. I don't know, you know.
Construction involves right? some blood, sweat, and tears. And so always, that's what I tell people.
Yeah, and always way more money and way more time than you think it's going to take and cost, right?
Absolutely. And you always, sometimes things lead to another, and you open up a can of worms, and it's like, I just wanted to do this simple thing.
Then you go down
and
this now rabbit hole.
I got to do all this, you know?
Yeah, you go from just redoing the one bathroom to like, you know, putting in a $50,000, you know, kitchen or bath or, you know, master bath. And then the next thing you know, you're ripping down drywall in the other room, and it's just like domino.
Yes.
A domino
people
effect.
Think that they're like, oh, I'll just renovate it. I'll DIY it. It's not as easy as it looks, you know?
No.
The TV makes it look so easy so pleasant.
So don't watch HGTV.
Well, I mean, everybody gets inspiration from all things, whether it be movies, whether it be TV, magazine, nature, a building, mm-hmm. you know? So you get inspiration from all types of things. So I do watch TV. I do watch movies, and I'll watch HGTV. But I laugh when people are like, oh, yeah, I'll just do it like that.
Like big no.
Yeah.
So in your your former life as a barber, right? Mm-hmm. Like what is it, what was it from? So it just makes me think, because you said like about like not getting complacent and comfortable, like mm-hmm. when you were a barber, like before you left doing that, I'm sure you probably still do some like backyard haircuts once in a while.
My husband and my son.
There
that's
you go.
It.
See?
In COVID, some of his old friends came and, you know, they're like, can Tess cut my hair? And that's about it, you know?
Yeah. But like, were there things like that you felt like, oh, like I'm meant for more? Like when you were a barber, like I'm sure you probably loved it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably also so much that you've learned from it about yourself, like what you're capable of. Like, was there a moment, you know, during that time you're like, you know what? I'm going to go do this instead. I want to change. I want to do something different. I want to strive for something better. Kind of like how you were saying about how you were telling your son. Like, was there a moment for you that like you can recall?
Not that I can recall a moment, but I always love design. I do believe that everybody is born with a natural gift, whether it be comedy, whether it be the gift of gab, whether it be your great with numbers. I feel like this was always my place. I'm just getting there now.
So how did you find it though? That's what I find so interesting, because I subscribe, and you're smiling, I subscribe to that same mindset, okay, of I don't care where you're at in life, I don't care how old you are, how inexperienced or experienced you are, you can always start new, different, somewhere in a different lane that, like, most people are like, yo, she doesn't belong in that lane, but you just do it anyway, and then you crush it, right? But, like, I'm a firm believer in that everybody, I think, has something inside of them that they don't really know exists. And it's just a matter of taking that first step and maybe putting yourself out there, putting yourself in an uncomfortable position, you know, like maybe today, you know, doing your first podcast, but like,
these are so uncomfortable.
Right.
Me,
right. you're doing great, by the way, but like, those are the moments. These are the moments where I think, you know, we as humans learn a lot about ourselves, you know, or we could like really like figure out like, oh, hey, I'm actually interested in that over there, and I want to go do that. And that's what it sounds like you did. It sounds like you were like, hey, I'm over here. I'm maybe a little content, but like, you know what? I love that shit. I think I could do that.
Yes.
And you just went and did it.
Yes. Baby steps, you know, because obviously we have bills. We have
mortgages
that we're responsible for a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So we have to, you know, go to a certain point, and that's when we first got the rentals. So then we started getting some rentals and renovating our rentals.
So that was kind of your first step into the world of...
That was our first step.
Okay.
Of real estate.
Okay. Yeah. So getting a couple rentals, and then what was after that? Like, you kind of got your feet wet, you learned,
yeah, after that was like, okay, well, we renovated our rental. So I'm like, you know, let's do a flip. Let's try a flip, you know, see how it is. Because my husband can fix and do anything. I can do pretty much anything, and I'm not afraid. I'll get right down and dirty with the guys. I'll get a hammer. I'll take a jackhammer. I'll do whatever I have to do to get the job done, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not afraid of getting my hands dirty or some hard work.
Nice. Yeah. I feel like, you know, and you know, again, without, you know, I don't really, I, you know, other than like today and, you know, from what Curse told me, and, you know, like, I don't know you, but like, you know, again, just, you know, if I was like just a typical stereotype, if somebody were to look at you,
you wouldn't, like, think that.
You wouldn't. Yeah,
there's two versions of me. There's the me that's done up and pretty. Yep,
this is podcast
makeup.
Version. Yeah, yeah. This is podcast test.
Or going out to dinner, or going to meet some friends for some drinks, or going out to lunch or something like that.
That's social test.
That's the pretty things. Yes.
Yep.
So then you see me with the hair not washed, no makeup on, my shirts are all ripped up, and I'm all stained and stuff, and that's the test. A lot of people see. So, I mean, because I really don't go out that much. Honestly, we're usually 6 to 7 days a week. So we're in the middle of a big project right now that we have a very short timeline on.
Okay.
We only have about July, August, September. So about 3 more months we have on this.
To wrap up the project. Is it a real correct. Big project in a short time, like a short deadline?
It's about 8 months. I wanted to get it done a little bit sooner, but obviously there's complications. There were some structural problems and,
things we had
to rectify it. So not the pretty stuff, the stuff that is behind the walls that you have to dump shit ton of money into and nobody ever sees it, but it needs to be done, you know?
Yeah.
So
what do you do in like those moments, and how do you feel in those moments? Because, you know, I've experienced this to myself, obviously, a little bit in real estate with this, you know, like I said, like kind of like with this building, for example. Like once you open something up, you're like, you're opening the can of the worms, and you're like, shit, now it's another $5,000 or whatever. And like in a moments like that, like how do you handle those moments where you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Like now what?
I'm great in situations like that. I'm a great problem solver. So, and I've learned that from dealing with the rentals and dealing with the flips. So when there's a problem and we open up a can of worms, I'm not going to throw myself down on the ground and start screaming and crying. I'm not going to have my meltdown. I may have my tiny moment, but then I'll be like, okay, let's get your shit together, put your head together, figure out how you're going to solve this, and we're going to keep on moving on.
I think that's a very underrated trait, right? Or whatever you want to call it, problem solving. Just problem solving. People lack the basic skills, I feel like nowadays more so than ever, of just figuring things out. And it sounds like you're similar to me, where it's like, hey, you give me something to do, I don't care whether I know how to do it or not, I'll say like, hey, like I'm not the best at that, but I could probably figure it out. Like, I mean, who doesn't have, you know, access to YouTube, right? Like
that's correct. And if you're unsure about something, the internet is the greatest thing.
Oh my,
you know,
God,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can see where other people made mistakes and you're like, okay, this person said that this, so let's try it this way.
Yeah, like, or watch, hey, when you're doing this, make sure you watch for this. Because, you know, as a guy, I don't read directions, right? Yeah. Like the only people that read directions, I feel like, are females. Like my wife reads directions. Shout out to my wife, because
You're supposed to read the directions.
You're supposed
That's
to.
That's why you have like 16 screws left by the time you're done with something.
Yeah. And why the shelf's wobbly as hell, right? Because I didn't read the directions. But I'm like impatient sometimes when it comes to that stuff. And like, but my wife she's the directions reader and the put together-er. You know, like she puts together like the kids, like she does all of our kids' like toys. You know, when Santa brings them, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to put together all the toys. Yeah, I'm like, what? This, how? And it's like, she's like, oh my God, this is so easy. Give me it.
She has patience.
She does.
She has, yeah. That's a gift. You know what I mean? That's a gift.
That's patience. Do you have patience like that?
It depends.
Okay.
It depends. All right. I couldn't be a school teacher. That's for damn sure. They have the patience of the saint, and I give them so much credit, because it takes a lot, you know, to be a school teacher. That's not my bag. I'm very upfront and honest usually. Some people say, like, may not understand my personality because I am upfront. I'm not really going to sugarcoat it for you, but I will be gentle, but I'm going to tell you the God honest truth.
I don't know if we should continue this conversation anymore. What's going to happen? No. What do you think? How'd I do here? How'd I do?
Oh, good, good. No, I'm talking about when it comes to design or something.
But I'm just thinking here, because, like, I mean, I don't have, like, the best design skills, but, like, I am proud of, like, what this turned into. If you saw what this looked like before, I mean, it was a little outdated. Everything's new in here, right?
Right.
Like, literally, like, everything except for, like, one floor, you know? Yeah, like, I don't think I, up until this, like, point in my life, again, I'm going back a couple of years when I bought this building and when I started having to do these types of projects, I was always, like, the person who was like, oh, I fucking hate renovations, like, I hate that stuff. I don't want to do it. Like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Plus, I'm not, as I said, like, I'm not very handy. Mm-hmm. I've become a lot more handy, you know, once I saw how much stuff costs. And,
right.
And I'm sure a lot of other people in similar situations with their first rental have experienced the same thing I have. And I'm sure you obviously have too. But like, it was, I actually began to enjoy like designing stuff like this. And like, it was one thing that I was like, that's not my skill. Like, that's not my whatever. But like, I started to really like it. And, you know, I'm not anywhere near, probably anywhere near, like, not even close to you, but like, just like designing like layouts.
Not even close.
And I know that, you know, like, I shouldn't be sitting at the same table as you, but like,
stop it.
But like, it's cool. Like, it is fun. Like, the more you do it, the more I like it. And like, we're working on a couple projects, like, you know, my wife and I, and by the way, my wife is actually like very handy, which is like really cool too. Like, because
so
like,
she puts together everything.
She
what
does.
Else does she work on the car?
No. I wish. No. Yeah, she does all my oil changes. She does my tire rotations. She helps me get dressed in the morning. Yeah, no. But no, she's good. Like, it's funny because we kind of balance each other out with some of that stuff. Like, there's certain things like I don't like electrical. It just freaks me out. Like, I don't know what it is. Yeah, like, electrical stuff work. Like, I just, I can do some basic stuff, but I don't go much further than that. I don't know. I just have, like, this fear of being electrocuted.
Yeah. I mean,
how many times have you been zapped?
I personally have only been zapped a couple times, but I don't do the electrical or plumbing in my houses.
Mm-hmm.
My husband does it.
Okay.
So he can be zapped.
Yeah, so like, you each have kind of like your little like
role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, my wife, she does like a lot of like the electrical type stuff. Like, well, if we need some things, you know, mood or change or whatever. She's also pretty good at like filling holes and spackling, and she like does pretty good like with like drywall stuff. I'm kind of like that.
Dear Lord.
I know.
So you're like the female.
I am pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah. You know what I'm good at? I'm good at the demolition. Tesla's, and I'm really good at ripping wool. I'm really good at breaking things. How about that?
Yeah.
I'm just good at like knocking walls down, injuring myself. I'm really good at that too. Don't ever bring me to one of your sites, because I'll probably drill a hole through my thumb. That actually happened.
Oh,
not actual like drill bit, but the, you know, Phillips head slipped off a nail because
accidents happen.
Yeah, and oh, that one hurt.
Yeah,
that hurt quite a bit. That was like our first, like, we were literally in our house for like 2 months, and that happened. And we hadn't done many renovations since then. That was like, I was like, you know what, we're hiring somebody next time. I got a hole in my thumb. We're hiring somebody next time, you know. But I've gotten better. I think I had drill PTSD for a little while. Still, I think still kind of do.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like, you know, I'm still a little nervous around with the drill.
Okay.
But I've gotten better. I've gotten better. But no, like I said, like going back to like I started to enjoy more doing these types of projects, which is where, you know, which kind of like leads me to like, which is where I can kind of see like, I understand like the passion for doing it. And clearly, like, you know, you could see it through your work, like how passionate you are. And before we came on, like, we talked about like detail. And like, the attention to detail, I think, is what separates a lot of people in certain types of roles, because it's so crucial.
It is.
Like,
it is. Like, and some people, that whether they do a flip or whether they do a renovation for a homeowner specifically, is that I have a vision in my head. Sometimes things go off the rails because you come across problems, you come across things that you have to fix. But in the end, we're all here for the same reason, and we're all here to give you a beautiful product. And I'm not stopping until I'm completely satisfied. If I'm completely satisfied, then I know that you'll love it.
I like that attitude.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good way of looking at it.
And I don't stop. If I have to be there for 14, 15, 16 hours, I do it.
You're a worker,
huh? I am a hard worker.
Where do you get the work ethic from? Like, where do you think that comes from?
Oh, my mother.
Yeah?
My mother.
All right, yeah. We got it. What's your mom's name?
Jackie Howells.
Jackie.
Yeah.
We got to hear
She's
about
an
Jackie.
Angel. She's so sweet. Much nicer than I am.
What did Jackie do for a living?
My mother, she worked at a dry cleaner's when I was born. She had me when she was 17 years old. Her and my grandmother, one of the sweetest, nicest women I've ever met, they will take the shirt off their back and give it to you. You know, if she, my mother had to struggle, she struggled. I never really wanted growing up as a child. She made sure I was provided and we had everything we needed, whether she had to work one job, two job, or three jobs. That's what she did.
Hmm.
So she used to tell me when I was a kid, she'd be like, Tess, what do you do when you're hurting or you need money or you can't make ends meet or whatnot? You know, I go, ask you for money? She goes, no, you get a job. And then when that doesn't work, you get another job and another.
and another. You get a job. You get a job. So I guess so as a kid, like growing up, you saw how hard your mom worked to be able to provide for you.
Yes.
And like that's kind of like your same like motivation kind of stems from your childhood. I find that that's very common, right? Like you, like whether you had parents or family or somebody, like you were in a struggle, yeah, right? Or somewhat, maybe some more so than others, but I find a lot of times like these past whatever it is like molds you into like the person you've come today. Do you feel like that kind of the your childhood kind of has set you up for what you're able to do?
Absolutely.
With your business,
you know?
Yeah,
I feel like I have a hard time feeling sorry, I guess, for people when they say that they're in a situation. I always feel sorry for you, you know? I will feel sorry for you, but it's up to you to pick yourself up and not feel sorry anymore. Just keep on going, you know? You're the only one that's holding you in that spot and preventing yourself from rising up to moving on to better things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a hard time with, I guess you could say, compassion in certain ways, you know, because we've all struggled in life. That's what life is. Life is struggle. Life is lessons to be learned, you know. So if somebody could be like, oh, yeah, I know everything. You don't know everything. Everybody learns every single day, you know. So if you're telling me you know everything, I don't even want to talk to you because you don't know shit.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like I'm going back to like your barber days, but like, I feel like as a barber, you probably learn so much because like you're working with people like all day, mm-hmm, every day.
All different types of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're basically like their therapist.
Kinda. Pretty much. That's what a barber or hairdresser is.
We
listen to their problems and they feel like for some reason when they're sitting in that chair, they feel like they can open up to you. And I'm just like, I always listen to their problems and I try to give them guidance, you know, and help like in any way that I can, you know? So
I always say too, like it's very similar to podcasting. You know, you come in, this is your unlicensed therapy session, by the way, today. So feel free. I forgot to have
get a bill later.
No, I won't give you the bill, but the trade-off is you have to like just spill all your guts here. So like we're all entertained and educated after your episode. We'll sign the HIPAA disclosure stuff later. But I always say like this is, yeah, like I'm an unlicensed therapist, but I don't get paid anywhere near what a therapist does, unfortunately. I have to beg for sponsors. They just get paid by insurance companies.
But you're doing what you love.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But
It's still tough. It's not the exact trade-off, but yeah.
Close enough, right? Close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So like, but going back to like the barber thing, like, I mean, I'm really close with my barber, mm-hmm, and she's also a female too, which also I think is a unique dynamic.
Right.
Because I'm sure as you probably, you know, for the amount of time that you spent in the industry, a lot of men would probably, if they heard you were a barber, they're like, or what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get that
in the beginning phases?
Until you proved yourself,
still get it. Yeah, you still get it.
Sure.
You know, I still would have gotten it. You know, if I was when I was working as a barber, and then even like right now, it's the same thing because I'm a woman. They're like, oh, you do.
Oh, yeah. Even
you do some of the construction, you just don't point at the pretty stuff and say where to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I get dirty with everybody else.
Yeah. Like I actually do the work, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool because yeah, like I said, like it's like a stereotype. It's like a misconception. And I'm sure there's probably, you know, like you said, you probably still face that almost on a daily basis. And
oh, 100%.
Yeah. Do you feel like maybe, you know, in some situations, maybe you feel like you might be getting taken advantage of or people like talk down to you or think like, oh, what does she know? She's a female. Like I'm the guy here. I know everything about this project. Right. Like you have this smirk on your face. Like you have a great story.
Well, yeah. Like like they'll say to my husband, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you do all this. I'm like, whoa. I do a lot of the work. I'm the brains behind all of it, and I do a lot of the work, you know?
Yeah.
So I always laugh when somebody says it, but my husband's very good. He'll correct them now. Instead of me having to say, whoa, hold up. I do a lot of the work too, you know?
He's like, no,
Tess does the tile. She'll run the jackhammer. She'll lay the hardwood floor. She'll do all the finishing work. She'll do...
That's what Kurt said. That's what... It just came back to me. Kurt mm-hmm. said, you are the best tile layer in the valley.
I don't know about the best tile layer in the valley.
All right, come on, give yourself some credit.
Yes, but I do, and that's with everything, with all my design and all my work. I pay attention to detail. If I don't like something, I'm gonna have to be like, oh, well, they just won't know, or they won't be able to. No, I'm gonna take it out and I'm gonna redo it again.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and I feel like we're very similar in the sense. Like if I'm doing something, and if I'm like, other people go, but Bill, no one's going to notice that. And I'm like, yeah, but I am. Mm-hmm. I am. And that's the difference. Like, and like, whether it's something I'm giving to you, mm-hmm. like if I'm selling a product to you, whatever it is, or if I'm working on a project where like something over here is crooked, even though like you, somebody else may not notice, I do. And I can't ever deliver a product knowing that it's, I'll say like maybe inferior, even though it's really not.
Right.
It's just that attention to detail of doing it right. That you're just like, no, I need to just take a step back, maybe redo whatever it is and just make it right. Like make it better, because I'm the same way. Like I'm not going to hand over something that I'm not 100% satisfied with. That's just the way I was born, raised, my work, everything about me. Like I can't. Like it would eat me. It would give me anxiety. It would just give me anxiety that it's not finished.
Right. And that's why I said, if you're completely happy with it, even though nothing is ever perfect, you have to understand that. You're like, oh, you're a perfectionist. It has to be perfect. Nothing is ever perfect, but I make things as perfect and as the best that I possibly can, you know? And then if you're satisfied with it, then they'll love it.
Yeah. Have you ever struggled with perfectionism, like, you know, like in this space? Because I'm sure it's probably... You probably get some pretty critical clients sometimes, and like obviously you it sounds like you have very, very, very high standards where you're doing everything probably better than what most people would ever imagine that you would do. So most people are probably like, oh my God, this is great. But like,
not something where a client or somebody said, hey, you know, that's not correct. I don't like that. That's not up to my standards. Why is that crooked or blah, blah, blah. Nothing like that, but it's something
internal.
Yeah. And you see it through those phases. So you're the worst critic, you know, you're the worst and you see everything. So as long as you fix it to the best of your ability, if a client does say, hey, you know, why did this wind up with this half of the built-in and we weren't able to do the whole span? Well, that's why we weren't able to do it. So as long as they understand the limitations and problems come up, things happen, sometimes we have to shift a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm.
So like, how have you like kind of like overcome some of that? Because like I personally myself even like, and I think everybody has to a degree, struggle with some bit of perfectionism in some part of their life, whether it's growing up as a kid in school, like with like grades, sports, you know, now, it, you know, cross over to like professional life. Like there's probably certain parts, I'll say, like even of my business that like I might be a little bit more of a perfectionist about than other things. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, like I suck at the finances. Like that, like to me, like it doesn't give me as much as anxiety that like, which is why I have a bookkeeper, but it's not perfect, but it's better because I hired a bookkeeper. Like I don't have to do it anymore.
Right.
But like then there's other parts that like I like a lot more that I'm more of a perfectionist about, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like do you have that, like have you seen that with yourself too?
I mean, yeah, in ways, you know, but sometimes like I said, you have to learn when you have to just walk away and step back, because that's the best that it's going to get, and that's, you just have to learn to accept it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like, you know, especially when I'm stuck, like if I'm like in a rut, like a creative rut, or like write, like if I'm like trying to write something or create something, right? And it's, I find sometimes, you know, I'll be sitting there staring at a screen and I'll be like, I don't know what to do. And I always find like the best thing is it's one of two things. It's either pause and just like literally physically go take a walk or do something, right? But these two things I'm going to say are kind of related. It's either go walk and do something like physical, right? Or just actually start writing. Like whether it's whether you're typing or whether you're writing with a pen, even if it's not, and this can relate to anyone in any industry, like, right? Like it's not just about like writing, like a writer, but I'm saying just like starting, putting pen to paper, like just do something, whether it's, even if your grammar's not perfect or the spelling, don't worry about that.
Right.
I think just doing it, like then like it just starts to happen.
Right.
Like once you start putting like pen on paper, and that's just like a metaphor, by the way, I'm just using that as like a metaphor. Like once you start putting pen to paper with whatever it is that you're doing, I often find that you figure it out like right then and there in the moment. Otherwise, like you just spent the last hour just sitting there staring at it,
right,
thinking like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But what you do in those moments, again, it's either maybe take a walk, go physically like walk or something that'll kind of clear your mind and then come back to it.
Right.
And then start.
Sometimes it's both.
Mm.
Sometimes it's both, honestly. Sometimes if I'm not sure at a room of how I'm going to go about it, like I did a walk-in closet and I was like, man, I just want to make sure I have this right. I want to make sure the shelves are wide. I want to utilize the space to the best of my ability. So I just sat in the room. So sometimes I'll just sit there and just think and look around, watch, you know,
mm-hmm.
just sit there. And then other times I'm like, okay, I have a general idea.
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessNEPA. All On The Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low-impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before. They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On The Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's theburn, THEBRRN.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn.
We drive the same roads you drive. We face the same danger you face. When you're involved in a car or a truck crash, it's personal. Because we live here and raise our families here. We're invested here.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com. This episode is brought to you by Loop Internet. Are you tired of buffering, lagging, and slow internet speeds? Look no further. Introducing Loop Internet, Northeastern Pennsylvania's fastest and most reliable internet service provider. With Loop Internet, you can stream, game, and work from home seamlessly. Say goodbye to interruptions and hello to lightning-fast connections. Loop Internet offers both residential and business fiber. Fast-track the future with their 10-gigabyte fiber and join the Loop Internet family today. Visit Loop Internet online at loopinternet.com or call 1-888-808-5667. Again, that's 1-888-808-5667 or visit them online at loopinternet.com. Loop Internet, where speed meets reliability. And now we're back on the Stacks.
I'm going to sit on this, let it ferment a little bit. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to go do something else. And as long as I have a general idea, everything will flow together.
So how do you plan? Like, how do you plan this stuff? Like, where does that begin? I know that's a long wind.
Usually I just walk into a space and I immediately know almost everything. I can see it.
Mm.
So that's a gift, another gift, you know?
It's just like something in your head that you just visualize. You walk in somewhere and you're like, I know I can do it. And it's all in your head. Like, I know I can do this, and this with that space. Is that?
Yep. 100%. You know, and sometimes in construction and when you're designing and renovating, you don't know what's going to happen. Like sometimes there's a structural wall or sometimes there's two beams. So where you wanted to put the kitchen, you can no longer put the kitchen now because it just chops up the whole flow and the whole design of everything. So it's okay. Where do I regroup? How can I make this work better? So you shift the kitchen slightly down and I put a butler's pantry where it is.
Mm.
So everything structural that needed to stay there is all in the walls now. So nobody ever knew that that was an issue that we overcame.
Mm. Yeah. And it's often too, like it's, you know, like you kind of make do with what you have. And I think you might've said it earlier or something, but like, just again, just taking like those situations and whether it's life or business or both, right? It's just like, hey, it's kind of like, hey, these are the cards you were dealt and now let's work from them. A lot of people just usually end up getting like super defeated in moments like that.
They can, and I understand it. It is defeating, it's overwhelming, you know, and you are upset because, you know, you can't do what you wanted to do, or so some people just quit and it's like, okay, let's sit down, let's regroup, let's figure it out and let's keep on striving, moving forward.
How did you learn to do everything that you do? Like, are you like kind of like self-taught? Like, was your husband good at some of the stuff? Were you the family?
It's
like the
just extended natural. Family? Yeah, it's just natural. And then, like I said, a gift, and you just know you have that gift. So you keep on working at it every single year, every single time to be better, achieve more things. And I feel like you evolve and grow in that way and you become better at what you do.
Yeah, it reminds me because a lot of people like always ask me, whenever somebody like, so I've been doing this for like almost four or five years-ish, right? But everybody like sees this and some people like that maybe don't know me like much at all, like maybe like just met me with, whether it was just recently or within the last year or so. And they look at all this stuff and they're like, man, like you must have went to like school for this, right? Like what did you do? Like, did you used to work in radio or like, did you work in TV? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I mean, like I went to school for public relations. Like I have a degree in PR.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't really, I mean, it's, I guess it's kind of related to PR. But like everybody always says like, well, what's your background? Like how'd you do all this? And I'm just like, I don't know. My answer is it's very similar to what you just said. It's just like, I feel like I just had this gift. And going back to what I said earlier, it was something that was inside of me that I didn't know existed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And until I started doing it, and practicing it and getting better and surrounding myself with really good guests, like it got easier with time and better.
Absolutely.
And you know, again, like same thing, that's one of the biggest questions that people ask whenever they, you know, mostly when they meet me for the first time, like, hey, what's your background, man? Like what are you doing? Like, and I tell everybody, and it's like not even close to this. I mean, I worked in sales also for 12 years, so like I feel like, you know, dealing with people, working with people, I think I'm very good at, I'm just very good at people, just working with people.
Right.
And I think that's probably, I'll say, probably like one of the things I think that probably has helped me be as successful or basically achieve all the things that like we've done here is because I take a genuine interest in other people. And I think until you do that, like, if you don't show a genuine interest in somebody else, and it's got to be genuine, that's the thing. Like if you're trying to just fake something, like people could just see right through that, you know, but like, and if you're selling like something that like you don't believe in, that's the other thing. And I'm glad, like I never ever really sold anything I didn't believe in. So like that was, I felt like it worked for me. Like it was good. Like I was in the right, you know what I mean? I knew it was in the right role because I was like, hey, I believe in this and it works, you know, but, I think it's just one of those things, like you said, like, you know, like I started this a few years ago and like I had no background or knowledge in this. Like I didn't even know. Like when I started, I'm just like, because everybody's like, how'd you get started? I'm like, I don't know. I just bought some equipment, found someone, I found some guy, like local guy who just like helped me like edit some stuff from the beginning. And I'm like, I don't know. We just figured it out as we went.
Yeah.
And like sometimes like that's, everybody always thinks like there's a big secret or nope, there's like this. Right?
There's no secret.
Yep. And it's actually like a lot simpler than people ever realize.
I remember when you said you just found some guy to edit and you just did something and bought some equipment. Well, the one time in, I was younger, and then my mom's like, Tess, you can remodel your bedroom however you'd like. You know, here's some money. Go get
this. This is when you were like a kid?
This was the best thing ever. You know, you go to the dollar store, you go get all this stuff and you remodel it and you think it's the cat's meow, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, you start somewhere. And I do believe that, like I said, you're born with something and it's up to you to
really like give yourself the time, the experience, the failures.
Oh, absolutely.
To be able to like hone whatever it is you're trying to get to.
Yep.
And I think that's so important because I think a lot of people just go through life like getting the job, doing the thing, mm-hmm. getting married, buying the house. You know what I mean? Like all that stuff where really it's like, hey, take a step back and like it may take you 5 or 10 years or maybe even more.
Right.
To really finally like fully craft what it is that you might be capable of or what you were meant for. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge believer in all that. Mm-hmm. Like I really, really am. Because like I said, like, and I feel like I'm a perfect example because I mean, I just quit my day job just a few months ago to do this full time.
Nice.
And you know, I've been like working on this for, like I said, the better part of 5 years on the side.
Right.
Nights and weekends.
So now it's the time to take that plunge.
Right. And like, but the thing is like, the other thing people don't realize is that it took 5 years.
Yeah.
And I'm still not satisfied. And I don't think I ever will be.
You won't. You won't. And that's the best thing is you keep on striving for more and wanting more. You're hungry for more. Don't settle, you know?
Yes. Don't settle. I think that's the theme of this episode.
Yeah.
Never settle. I'm a huge subscriber to that as well because I just, I don't know if it's like the ADHD in me or just whatever, all of it, the entrepreneurship, like it's like a gift, you know, it really is because a lot of people like, man, they're like, man, how do you have the time in the day? And it's like, bro, I got the same time that you do. Right. I think the difference is that like maybe when somebody like asks those types of questions, like, Bill, how do you do it? How did you do this? And I'm just like, I just found something I absolutely fucking love.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You sacrifice a lot, though, when you're doing double duty for something that you love and then your regular day job until you can get there. Mm-hmm. You sacrifice so many things. We still sometimes don't go on vacation. You know, there's quality time where my son was at the job sites building a pool at the leftover plywood and putting rubber from a roof in, you know. And I look back on those moments and I'm like, oh, I hope I did okay for him when he was a kid. You know, but then I just told him I was coming here to do the episode with you. He's like, I'm like, I'm really nervous, you know, this and that. He's like, don't worry, Mom, you got this. You know what you're doing. Just calm down. Just be yourself and you'll have. And I'm like, God, I think I did something right with him. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. How old you said he's 19?
19.
What's his name?
Tayden.
Tayden.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tayden. Is he gonna be watching, listening? What do you think?
Yes, he will definitely listen.
He's grounded.
Not right now, but yeah.
Otherwise, I know he's 19, but you can still ground him, I think, right?
But he's going in. No, I can't ground him no more. Days are long
Shit.
Gone.
Shit. All right.
But he's going into the National Guard.
Is he?
He does help us out on the side, but cool. I see so much of me when I was younger in him. And he's the same thing. He's like, Mom, this is not the path for me. This is not what I want to do. I don't want to do
doing what you do?
Yes.
Okay. So he got a taste of it and was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. For his whole childhood, pretty much.
Oh, that's right.
Up,
that's,
you know?
Right. Yeah, so, that's right. That's right. So he was over there building things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like, I don't want to do this. I'm like, okay, I understand. I was like, you need to go on your own path. Go ahead. I just pray one day that you'll come back with us, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's nothing more rewarding, I think, as a parent is to have your kid side by side with you.
Yeah. How did you encourage him? Because this is also just, I feel like, a very interesting conversation. Like, because, you know, like nowadays, I feel like with social media and everything, there's so much pressure on people to like follow a certain path, and whether it's pressure from parents or society or whatever, right? Like how like, you know, with him being that, you know, he decided to go in the National Guard, like how did you kind of like help him or guide him or encourage him to follow what he wants to do, follow a dream or his dream, or like get experiences like that maybe he maybe wouldn't have done if it wasn't for you saying like, hey, go try that, or hey, do this? Like, what was your experience like?
Well, he didn't know what he wanted to do. He's not a college kid. He's not a school mm-hmm. kid. And a lot of kids are not, you know? So I'm like, okay, do you want to go into a trade? I said, what would you like to do? He's like, well, Ma, you know, I always liked like the army things. And I said, yeah, since you were a baby, you had a camouflage thing running around with knives. Okay. That's just the way was. So they're like, you let your kid have a knife? I was like, yeah, he's got like 20. He's fine.
He's got like 20. He's good. He's experienced. All right. He's got 20 of them.
So I'm like, okay. I was like, well, let me make some phone calls, talk to some couple different people, see what is the best route for you. And then we'll sit down and have a conversation and see where you want to go. You know, mm-hmm. I said, this may not be the route for you, but at least you're doing something to start your life. Right. I said, it'll open up some doors. I said, it'll give you structure. I said, it'll help you in so many ways that you don't even know how it's going to help you. Mm. I said, if you don't like it, then you do your time and then you get out, you know?
Yeah. 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 I find like I've had a number of veterans on the show, young, old, mm-hmm. Some active duty military. And again, some veterans, you know, right. And I found like a common theme with a lot of them is they're all, a lot of them, almost all of them, the ones that I've talked to or seen, right, had these conversations with, like, they're all like very successful. And I think it all stemmed back to their like early military experience and like that, just that it's a lifestyle, right? Like, you know, it depends on how long, you know, some people, I've had some people on there further. I was like, I had, you know, an army general on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, like one of the things, I just said this to one of my friends the other day, I asked him, he led a brigade of 10,000 soldiers in Iraq during the bloodiest time in Iraq in like, what was it? I think maybe like 2007, 8, 9, somewhere around then. Forgive me if I have the dates a little wrong, but if, when you look it up, like the deadliest time in the Middle East, you know, when the U.S. was there, again, whatever it was, I think it might've been that time frame. I forget. So forgive me if I'm off by a few years, but during that bloodiest time, he led a brigade of over 10,000 soldiers. Mm-hmm. And I think I said something to him like, you know, or, and I forget how it came up, but it was just about like leadership in general and getting, you know, people to lead and, you know, people to follow you and buy into the mission, like the overall bigger picture. Right.
Right.
And he said something like, what was it? I don't want to butcher it. Always, I'll look like an idiot. You don't need to get to know everyone. You just need everyone to get to know you. And that was like real powerful because when you think about it, like for people to get to know you, you don't actually have to spend time with them. Like you just have to be able to put yourself out there enough somehow, some way, mm-hmm. right? And it's whether it's your leadership style, the culture that you build, whether it's in a company or whether it's in, you know, a platoon, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's, I think, you know, that the leadership, it trickles down, right?
Right.
And if you can, you know, because like, it's like, hey, he's not going to meet all 10,000 of those guys. Never. Right? Right. But like they all, like, it's like they all buy in, and it's like, it makes sense now when you really think about it. Like you don't, it's not necessarily, cause it's impossible. It's impossible to try to have a one-on-one with all these people and to get them to like you and buy into you. Like it's just not reality. So you don't have the time for that, but he said like, how do you get that? It's like, well, you don't need to get to know them. You need to get them to know you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do you do? And that's the key. Like, yeah. That's it. Like, that's what he said. And I was just like, wow, that is like real powerful when you think about it, because like, you know, when you really sit back and think about it, like a lot of people know you. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, you have to just get people to know you enough. That's it. And it's really not that complicated when you really break it down.
It's pretty simple.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like I also have a great appreciation for, you know, people in the military and the sacrifices. I mean, because it is the ultimate sacrifice.
It is.
And the experiences that some of these people have gotten and some of the stories that like have been shared on this podcast, sitting at this literally the exact same table, like it's mind-blowing sometimes.
Yeah.
But it sets them up for success.
Yeah.
Like way more success than they probably ever imagined. And a lot of like veterans that come out like end up being like super successful entrepreneurs. I see it a lot.
Yeah.
At least in my experience, right? Like I know it's not everywhere, but like I love to see that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you always love to see not only people that you don't know, but people that you do know succeed in life, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's really nice. I'm not a jealous person. So if you say you're rocking it and you're doing so great and this and that, high five, props to you. That's amazing. I'm so happy for you, you know?
Yeah.
It's when people bring other people down all the time, you know, or they talk bad just because they're jealous, you know, or whatever it may be. That's sad.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
It is. It is. And, you know, it's so true, though, because, you know, when you're around like-minded people, you no longer have to apologize for talking about like money or what you do or like how you did it, how you got there. Cause like a lot of times, like I used to find myself in situations like friends or just other colleagues that like maybe, you know, we're in a little, maybe a little different places. And I always felt like I was at the pressure thinking, hey, like I'm not bragging when I say this, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like that's awkward, you know, but like when you're in a conversation like this and it's like, hey, there's no like, I don't have to apologize for anything. We're just talking, just having a conversation. Like,
right.
I'm not jealous of you. You're not jealous of me. It's just like, hey, we're just two entrepreneurs, like having like a conversation about life and business. And like, that's normal, you know? Whereas other people who maybe because they're not in at a certain level, like they feel like inferior. And because of that, like they'll just be jealous or they'll be like, ah, you can't do that. Or, ah, no, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
And they'll like to try to talk you out of it. But because like they have this thing in their own mind that they can't do it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. And I find that a lot and it's unfortunate, you know, but as you grow, you find your people, as I say, right. Like right. you find those right people around you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I always, people are like, oh, there's no way you're going to be able to do that to us. Oh, there's no way. No way. I love when people tell me that I can't hit that number. Like when I go into a project, I always expect it to be A, B, and C. But sometimes it almost always succeeds what I think, you know, and that's in a good way. And they're like, oh, Tess, you're never going to be able to hit that number. You're never going to be able to do this. No way. And then they laugh at you. I'm like, watch, wait and see.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm the same way.
So just by you saying that to me makes me work even harder to get where I need to be.
I know.
To people be don't more realize creative, that. To put more beautiful things in the home, to do more adventurous things. Like when people do flips or do other renovations, I called it builder grade, and there's nothing wrong with builder grade, you know? But you can do a little bit better. Like, let's take builder grade and let's do a couple modifications so that it doesn't look so cheap in builder grade.
Mm-hmm. Give me some other tips here, like whether it's a DIY thing or maybe they just need to hire you. I don't know. Like, give me some tips. Like, where could somebody start? Like, what's, you know, a small project or a big project? Like, what are the things people need to look for when they get started with something like this?
Well, a lot of people are naive and don't understand what it takes. You know, whether they think that they can call me and come in for $4,000. What do you want me to do? Like, I can give you a product for $4,000, but that's a product that you can give yourself for $4,000. So let me take you to another level, you know?
What's that look like? I want to know what this next level. What does that look like?
I don't know. You'll have to see. Give me a call. But people are like, or they're like, I don't know how to get to that level, Tess. Take me to that level. I'm like, okay. Well, small things that you can do easily, that you can do yourself to cut costs down and to make a big change, are painting your walls. That's the easiest thing that you can do.
Easy and least expensive.
It is.
It makes a world of difference.
It is.
It can look like, make a place look brand new almost.
Right, right. A throw rug, you know, some cabinet hardware, even paint your cabinets. Those are just small things that you can do yourself that can make a bigger impact, you know. But if you want to get
next
more
level
than that, yeah, then you got to call me.
And what's that? Like, what does that look like? When somebody hires you, what are they hiring you for?
Well, it depends. I do a lot of different things. Like I said, I'll help you and advise you with your flips, tell you best and the best way to spend your money and where to spend the money, where, so like, it's going to make the most impact.
So if I was like a guy flipping houses and like I don't know what the hell I'm doing, like I'm like, hey, I want to try this, I want to get started, I could hire you to help me design it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
I can, because everybody's on a budget. And when you get into a renovation, shit, like I said, shit happens. Like, sometimes your budget gets out of control. You've spent that contingency because you opened up something and now you got to move plumbing, HVAC. This is a structural wall.
And it just doubles your budget.
And
yeah,
it just kills you for the pretty things that you get to see. The things that are behind the walls. That you have to spend all this money and you don't.
Well,
what did you spend my money on?
It's hidden. it's hidden behind that. Yeah, we'd have to rip down the drywall to show you all the expensive parts.
So there's ways where you can use builder grade where you don't know where you had used builder grade, where, and then you get the more expensive things. Not everybody can afford custom, you know? Mm-hmm. So it depends on what your budget is, you know? Would you love custom? Absolutely, everybody would love custom, but not everybody can afford that, you know? Sure. So there's different ways, different strategies, different things to go about it, you know? And I feel like I do that pretty well.
Yeah. What's like the range of projects, like small to large? Like what types of projects do you work on?
Somebody can just say, I also stage houses. Mm. So if you have a hard time selling your house or don't know where to begin, or you have a vacant house that you had remodeled and then, like, it's hard for people, once again, to imagine. So that's the importance on staging. People are like, oh, I'll just do virtual. It's a fraction of the cost. Yeah, but then when you still walk in there, you still get that empty feeling where they don't understand, you know? So that's with staging. So that's a smaller thing. With interior design, styling, and I guess you can call it decorating in ways, is that they could say, hey, Tess, I just want to vamp up my living room. So I want to purchase a new sofa. I want new rug, new chairs. Let's do a built-in and let's paint the walls. So those are smaller things.
So that could be, it could be as small, a little as like just remodeling like a room.
A room. Mm-hmm.
Two. Mm-hmm. What's the extreme other side?
Like rip out my kitchen, redo the outside, do all my bathrooms, do my bedroom living. I want open concept. I want to move this plumbing here. Now, we do that, but I'm trying to get to a different phase where my husband's just going to worry about our rentals and I'm going to do more of what I want to do, like with the design. So then I'd work with your contractor that you have doing the work and I'd be side by side with him because I know the lingo, I know the codes, I know everything. So it's pretty easy for me. And I'd order your materials. We walk through everything. You tell me what you want, what you don't want, what works for you and what doesn't, you know? Mm-hmm. So we can do a new build from the ground up. I can work right there with your contractor.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds complicated.
Not really.
No?
No, I'm used to it.
Yeah. I guess like you said, like once you start doing it, like same thing, like looking back at some of this stuff that I've done, like, you know, again, this all kind of actually started as like not even like a thing that I ever thought would ever make money. And then here we are five years later, but like all the things that, you know, it's like we just kind of kept leveling up. It's kind of like back to what you were saying in the beginning. It's just like you can't stay stagnant.
Nope.
And you can't settle. And if it's like you just keep building and building and building, and even after like 5 years, I feel like I'm still just getting started, but in a good way, mm-hmm. in a real good way. And I don't know if you feel the same way about like you and what you're doing.
Right.
But like, I feel like no matter like how many achievements I'll say we reach or milestones we've gotten to, it just always to me feels like I just have a never satisfied attitude, which is similar to how you said, don't settle.
Right.
Where I'm always, not that I'm like looking for the next biggest, best thing. It's just like, I want to grow this bigger. Like the way I look at things, and especially like this and this business, like I have like a bigger vision, like a bigger purpose. Like I feel like we're building something that's even bigger than ourselves. Mm-hmm. And like that's like the mantra like I have about all this is, we're creating something that's even bigger than me.
Yeah.
You know, like I have a hard time sometimes taking a step back, and people say this all the time. Like, it's cool to get like other people's perspectives on like what you do, because it's very hard as you yourself to remove yourself from seeing what you do and to like get that third party. It's almost impossible to get like that third party view or look of yourself.
Right. Like I just do this because this is what I do and this is what I love. So then other people come in and they're like, you changed my world. Like you made my life better. Like you should be proud and happy when you walk in your door, when you invite people over to your home. You shouldn't be like, oh yeah, well, I don't have people over because this is like this, or this is unfinished, or I've just dealt with this. Like you don't have to deal with that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to live that way.
You don't. Yeah. You know, like I want to make people when they walk in the door, like they're so proud of their home and
to be like, fuck yeah, like this is, yeah.
Like I get to live here. Like, yeah. You know, they get a little giggle like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're really, really, really proud to show it off. And yes. Like that's like such a good feeling. And, you know, it's kind of like with this, too. Like I've often said, like, you know, my previous job, I worked in the printing industry. My family owned a printing company. And I always said, like, I wasn't changing people's lives by selling somebody a set of business cards. There was a lot of other stuff we did too. And I just use that analogy because I feel like that's the most recognizable thing when you hear printing. Everybody thinks of like stuff like that, right?
Right.
So, but it wasn't until like, I started doing this that like somebody told me like I changed their life. And like no one's ever said that to me before mm-hmm. in my life. Mm-hmm. They're like, yo, Bill, like I listened to your show. I quit my job. I took, you know, I heard you in that conversation with that guy. And I decided I wasn't happy with where I was in my life. And I was just stuck in this job. And I ended up applying for this other job that I never would have went outside my comfort zone for. And I did it. And I'm making so much more money. And I'm so much happier. And all this and all that. And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, from this?
And he's like, the conversation?
Yeah. And actually, and you know what's even funnier? Is like, he doesn't even listen to the podcast anymore. And but you know, what's so cool about that, though? Is that he only needed this to get him to next level. Mm-hmm. Which like, of course I don't want people to like stop listening,
right?
But like, I'm proud of the fact that he listened as much as he did religiously, literally, like religiously, till he felt comfortable enough to make some sort of change in his life. And then he did that. And then he almost, I'm sure he probably still listens here and there, but maybe not like he used to. Right. But he felt so comfortable that like, he didn't need this anymore, which is like really cool for me to like, know that like, he went and did his thing. It's like he moved on. He leveled up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And like, that's just like such a cool feeling. And he's not the only one. Like, there was more than one person that have said something similar to that.
Yeah.
And it's like, once you kind of get like a taste of that, doing what you do, and kind of similar to what you said, like when you're doing these things for people's houses, like that's where they freaking live. Yes. And it's like when somebody walks in their house and they're like, man, Tess really fucking crushed it here. Like, and I know the feeling, because we're redoing a couple little things at my house right now, like ourselves, and it's like every time we finish like a little project, I'm like, damn, like it feels so much better. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know what I mean? So like, I feel like in your line of work, when you you know, show a finished product to like the client, right? And they're just like, man, Tess just, I feel like it just makes you feel so much better, and you're really proud of it, and like you literally like changes people's life because it makes them happier,
right?
Like, it's impactful.
Well, your home is, I don't even know what, like, your
home. It's everything. It's everything.
Yeah, yeah. That's where you spend the majority of your time, mm-hmm. you know, whether you be at work or you work from home, whatever it may be. That's where you spend your life. That's where your children are, your husband, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, small little things in your house when aren't done or giving you a hard time, like, that you don't even know, but they affect your mood.
They do.
They affect your mood and how you feel. And you may be catty, you may be snotty, you may be short with people. And it's all because of the functionality of your home.
And you're not happy with
not
it, right?
Working. Yes.
Oh, my God. I need you to talk more about this. And my wife has to listen to this. And I'm going to make sure that she listens. Even if she doesn't listen to this whole episode, she has to listen to this little part. Because I actually said that to her, like, at some points. I'm like, man, like, I just, it, some parts of the house... I know, like, we were trying to, like, you know, trying to finish other rooms that we didn't necessarily maybe use as much, but, like, mm-hmm. there's still a little part of you that's like, I just hate that fucking room.
Yeah. Well, sometimes budget constraints.
Sure.
You don't have
and you can't
it,
do you it know? All, and you can't do it all at once.
No, and I always tell people, it's okay. You don't have to do everything at once. We can take it in phases. You know?
Yeah.
Not everybody has several hundred thousands of dollars to spend on stuff.
Sure.
They may have a couple dollars, you know, and they say, let's start
do
here.
Do it over five
this
years.
This is where we spend the most of our time, and this is the most... where the all the dysfunction is for the flow.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
That's where we'll start.
That's it. Little yeah. by little. Just yeah. like, you know, you like to say, like, how do you eat an elephant? And it's one bite at a time. I know it's like such a cheesy
but
analogy,
but
it's,
you know,
so true.
Yeah, but listen, like, you're going to see this space and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is awesome. Now I want to do this. But like, yeah. sometimes you have to wait. You got to calm down a little bit. You got to go back to your everyday and just know that you table that for now and you'll come back.
Mm-hmm. So like, if somebody, you know, let's just say somebody wants to add some more value to their house, like what areas... If somebody has a limited budget mm-hmm. and wants to maximize their budget to raise the value of their house.
Well, obviously it's kitchen and bath.
Mm-hmm. Master mm-hmm. bath?
Master bath, yes, mm-hmm. yes. So those are, kitchen, bath, and living room are the key places that people eat, sleep, breathe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How much money, like, should people spend on that? Like, let's just try to keep it like average, like nothing crazy custom, but like, how can somebody like budget wise, like, do you think somebody can like redo like a decent kitchen for?
Because
I see stuff all over the place nowadays.
Yeah, non-custom. You can get semi-custom. You can get off the shelf, mm-hmm. and then you can get custom. So there's three different versions that you can do. If you're really, really on a budget, then I'm going to say maybe like 15, 20. Semi-custom is probably like 20 to 35 or some. Custom is more like 50. And it depends on the
don't ask for the price palette. Don't ask. It's like that thing in the menu. There is no price. That's when you know.
Yeah.
It's like,
it also depends on how large your space is.
Sure. So and what needs to be moved.
Yes. Yes. So if you want to open concept, if you want to bust this wall out, all that is more money. Or if you need more cabinets, you don't need, 15, 20 cabinets. You need 35 cabinets. So that's going to be a lot more money, depending on which route you go.
What do you see nowadays? Is there a trend? Is there certain things, certain concepts that people are after?
Boho Modern, obviously, is what a lot of people like. But you have to, I'm not a trendy person. Do I like looking at some trend things? Do I use some trend things in my project? 100%. But my style is very eclectic and mixed. So I'll take some vintage items, I'll take some modern items, and I'll just mesh it all together. And I've had people come into my houses of all ages, whether they be in their 60s or whether they be in their 20s. And they walk into my houses and they're like, wow, this just gives you a feeling. I can't even express it with words. How'd you do this? And I'm like, touch my heart.
Yeah.
Like that's amazing, because I don't think anything of it when I'm doing it. I do put my heart and soul into the projects, but I don't think of it when I'm doing it because I just do it because that's what I love to do. And then when somebody says that to you, it's like, thank you.
And it's so natural for you.
Yes.
That's like the thing.
Yes.
It's kind of it goes back to how do you do what you do? And it's like, I don't know. I just do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Because I get that a lot too. When people walk in here, they look around. They're like, whoa, I was not expecting this. What did you feel like when you walked in here? How did it feel?
Feel?
Yeah. Did it feel like, oh my God, I made a mistake?
There was a slice of pizza and a drink half eaten.
That's right. Yeah. Well, sometimes, sometimes we forget to clean up from the frat party the night before, But besides the pizza, how did the place look?
You did a nice job.
Did I do okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
You did a nice job. Cool. It has a nice vibe.
Does it? Yeah. What's the vibe feel like? I'm always curious because we don't know each other that well. Man vibe?
Man okay. vibe, definitely.
How do I get more womanly vibes in here?
You just have to soften some things a little bit.
Like
everything
what?
Is right, come black. On, tell me. Mm-hmm. Black and
it's part of
dark.
my brand.
But that's your vibe.
Yeah.
That's your vibe.
But how do you make that fit more into like a female brand?
It's not good to go one way or the other. Like a husband may say, oh, I like industrial, and then another when the wife may be traditional.
Because I'm industrial, kind of, as you can tell.
You got to figure out how to match both of them, So you take pieces of this one and pieces of this one, and then you put it all together. Some things you put in a space that don't work out, and you're like, okay, I hate that, so let's take that out. But you figure it out, and it flows, and it's perfect for both of them,
So. All right. Now the real question, the last question is, how do you really feel about Kurt?
I love my cousin. I love my cousin. He is a good, good person. His heart is gold.
But I
do feel like sometimes I have to rein him in when he's telling me about all this stuff that he's doing. And I'm like, okay, calm down. You're all over the place, Let's focus on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing. Let's accomplish that, When I staged his nanny coke house, he's like, Tess, you got to come stage this. People are going to have a hard time visualizing. They're not going to understand. The bedrooms are a little bit smaller. There's no bathroom upstairs. I'm like, okay, fine. I walk in the house. I was like, okay, I already know what I'm going to do. And when I said, now don't come to the house until after I'm done. Then you come in because I want your honest opinion and I want to see your reaction and how you feel about it. So he comes in after and he's like, you blew my mind away. I can't believe you're like God. I'm like, I'm not God. Please.
It's a good testimonial though. It's a good testimonial.
But yeah, he is probably hype me up the most more than my friends, probably more than my husband,
Mm-hmm. It's cool though. It's good. Forget the fact for a second that he's your cousin, but to be able to have people like that speak, like that of your work, there's no better feeling than that.
Yeah.
And it really goes to show. And I know Kurt enough, Kurt's not just blowing smoke up your ass. Again, put aside you as your cousin, Kurt will tell you how it is. Like, you know, Kurt and I have had many conversations, and I, you know, I've had him here on the show, and, you know, like, again, like, you know, for him to walk in and say those things, like, I know he truly means it. Cause if he didn't, he wouldn't be saying that.
Yeah.
You know? So it's cool. So if anybody wants to work with you, like, how can they find out more information about you, about your company? Where do they need to go?
They can go to bluebarrow.com, or they can go to bluebarrowinteriors@gmail.com. I welcome you to go to the website. You can look at some of my past projects to get a sense of who I am and what I can offer you. And if you want, reach out.
You, this was your first podcast. You did. How do you think you did? I think you did great, by the way.
I think I did okay. I was
Your son's
nervous.
Gonna be so proud. Well, you didn't look so nervous at all. Like this, like you did amazing. You also like your voice projects very well.
Oh, thank you.
You should. I feel like you. You know. I feel like you should do. And I'll also end it on this. But like, and maybe you already did this. Maybe you do it. Maybe I just didn't dig enough online to find anything like this. But like capturing that moment when Kurt walked in that door. Maybe you already did this. I don't know. But like, just getting that on video. Like just that reaction. You're laughing like as if like maybe tried it or you did or did.
I didn't, but we have recorded in the past people's reaction to things that they say, you know? So I didn't do it on this one, but he immediately called me and his friend Joey was there. I don't know if you know Joey.
I know Joey, yeah.
So, and they're in the background. Whoa, my God, how did you do this? I'm like, please, it was nothing, guys. Come on, you know? I do.
Yeah. It's just normal to you.
Yeah.
But to other people, that's the thing. One of the things that I found in my journey of like creating some content and showing content of things that I normally wouldn't put out online, whether it's social media, whatever, is that you'd be pleasantly surprised at how many people actually find you and what you do way more interesting than what you think they would. Because like, you're so used to it. Just by hearing what you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, just do that. I do it in my sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to other people, like it's so impressive and it's so cool. So, you know, I think it'd be cool to like, get some of those reactions. Like, it'd be so cool. Like, I mean, like, cause like, I like seeing that stuff. Like, you know, again, maybe just cause I'm, you know, watching maybe some stuff on TV, but like getting those people's like genuine, it's priceless.
Yeah.
Like you can't, and you can never recreate it. That's true. That's so cool. So, you know. Get someone to get their phone at least like, and you can do it on a budget. You can do it like, you can do it for free.
Yes. And I am getting better at it with the whole social media.
Good. And
I am getting better and I'm taking little snip pics and I'm like sending them as we go.
Because people love that shit. People love the BTS.
They do.
Sometimes more than the finished product.
That's true. They like the drama and they like to see, like some people even like to see, well, how did you even get there? Okay. Well, this is step A, B, and C, you know, and that's how we got to the finished product. So I am working on that. You know,
cool.
We just got like 2-3 more months, you know, to
baby
down.
Steps. Hey,
yeah.
You know,
and we'll get there.
Awesome. Well, I encourage you to keep doing it. Keep doing some more. Keep doing awesome work. Keep laying the best tile in the valley, as Kurt says. So thank you for getting outside of your comfort zone today. And
thank you
joining
for
me on here. I know you like, you know, like, as you said, like a lot of people have been on the show, many first time people. Right. And it's the same thing as always like, oh, my God, like I'm nervous. I'm this, I'm that. And it's like, no, like, it's like, I'm telling you, like, and I said to you before, and as soon as we finish, you're gonna be like, oh my God, that was so easy. It felt like, it felt like 5 minutes. And like, now you probably feel like, oh my God, like you're like a podcast rock star pro now.
I don't know if I'm a pro.
You're pretty close.
I'm definitely way more comfortable. And if I come in, I'll be like, boom, I got this.
There you go. See, so like you accomplished something today. Maybe you thought that, not that you wouldn't, but like, you know, it's cool to be in these situations and it's, I enjoy it. I'm interested in other people and other people's experiences because I'm like getting like free lessons, like life lessons from everybody. Mm-hmm. I have like over 200 free life lessons from everybody because I've done over 200 episodes. So
yeah.
I've learned just as much during, and I still learn just as much during these conversations as a listener does, which is like kind of crazy when you think about it.
It is. You know? It is. But that's what life is about. That's what I say all the time.
Yeah.
Nobody knows everything. Everybody learns every single day about something.
Always.
Something.
Always like, learning. I'm of that mindset. Just always learning. Like a student of the game. I think if you're a student of the game, like you'll continually get better.
Absolutely. 100%. That's how you keep on striving up. You get better and better. You learn from your lessons and you keep on moving.
All right. Tess Jendradesky on the Stacks in the MPP studio. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.